This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
From ESPN Studios in the Seaport District in New York City, it is Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. And yes, we are presented by Progressive Insurance. What's that?
I'm sweeping.
What are you sweeping?
I'm sweeping up the Yankee season.
Really?
Wait. What happened to Mr. I believe that I'm trying to be a realist yesterday. You give me the whole fake speech. New Rockne.
That's what good teammates do.
Mm-hmm. You didn't mean any of it.
I tried to lie.
It was disingenuous, and that's why I wasn't playing along. I tried to lie.
You had opportunities, man.
Yeah, you did.
If Dirk Diggler can put one in play, I mean, hell, did they have all 15 people, you know,
that was
weird. To the left of second base?
That was weird.
Hey, bro, just butt it.
I don't know what to make of that.
Just butt it.
So, yes, everybody, the Yankees lose game one of the ALCS yesterday, 4-2. Verlander strikes out 11. The Yankees strike out 17 times.
They swing it. I said 17 times.
My God.
Same thing, make you laugh, make you cry.
Just fall in front of it, something.
But we know the narrative of it, right?
Jeez, it's so hard to watch.
Feast of famine.
It's so hard to, I mean, I've been telling everybody that I could find. I'm bugging Michael Kay at a late night. I'm bugging him, texting him, right? I got Jessica Mendoza, who's going to actually, she's kind enough. I was talking to her in the green room. She's going to get up with you guys this morning, right?
She tried to talk you off the ledge yesterday.
And I go into the green room, and I just start talking to her, like straight up, just walk in, like bum rush the room. It's all quiet. Everybody's chilling. And I'm just like, Jess, what the? And I'm going, and she's just like, am I going on with you guys today? I'm like, no, I don't think so. She's like, maybe I should. I'm like, yeah. So she's going to come on with us later on the show.
I think you represent a lot of Yankee fans' frustration as it seems as if they've seen this movie before against this team.
This is rinse repeat. It's coming off
a hot series where you hit home runs.
That's not true. Their offense was a struggle against Cleveland. Here's the problem, and that's just been for years. That's been the thing. This approach that they have. Which, for those around the country, you have to understand, I we're in that era of analytics where the whole idea is
launch angle,
obviously, and just the whole idea of hitting home runs is better than getting on base. And they're okay with striking out because you just swing with pitch. You find that pitch and you're going to hit it out more times than not.
Average out.
But when you get to the postseason, it is hard to watch. It's demoralizing when your team whiffs over and over. And this team is playing against an Astros team that can match them home run for home run because they were fourth in the league in home runs. But you know what they don't do? They don't strike out.
Yeah.
They're one of the fewest strikeout teams in the league this year during the regular season. So their method is not, you know, it's okay to strike out. No, it's not okay to strike out. It can't be. And it's frustrating because, and I know this doesn't matter, Bart, but I don't know how you think of it now past your career, but when you played football and you were doing things on the field and you could feel like the frustration of the crowd, right? Whatever was going on with your team. Now, your team's always – most of the teams you played on were pretty tough, physical.
But you can sense it offensively when they get frustrated.
It brings you down as a – it's not inspiring to watch, and it can make you crazy. And watching that game yesterday made me crazy.
Should they get a pass, though, the fact that they just hopped on a flight late last night?
Oh, okay. So now we're going to start doing
that. I don't know if this is a Bernie Way.
Bernie Wayne's going to join us here in a few minutes. I'd love to get his take on this
because
they
played
a ton of games.
To just play and get up and fly out and, you know, check into a hotel, have batting practice, and go play a real game. Not really a chance to have a self-scout and also scout the opponent because you get the day off. We can kind of talk about how we want to approach, you know, today.
Mm. Chris Canty jumping into the studio.
The world's biggest radio host.
Yes.
The Twin Tower. The man of power. The man of the hour.
Why does your hair smell like that? You put juices in
it. You smell that? It's coconut. It's coconut. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Ain't got no chemicals in my head. Just juices and berries.
I got a chair for you. What is going on?
We're working on it. We're working on it.
We got the honeycomb hideout.
The honeycomb hideout's all we have now, but we're working on a third chair.
Man.
We're going to need a bigger table.
Lacto. Man, move the damn bell.
But hey. The bell.
Yes,
move the bell.
It's a gong.
You know what I'm saying? We could be like the Wu-Tang Clan. Because I'm sure you're frustrated about your Yankees as well.
I need to hear this take.
Yeah, just drop it on the ground. Come on in the middle. You know what I'm saying?
I appreciate you respecting the gong. Bring the chair right there to the middle.
Lacto, get us another mic. We can make three hot, baby.
All I need is one mic.
Listen, one mic in Barton, I'll share.
Let me get the patience off.
Look, I'm sitting on a stool that's about a foot shorter than Bart's chair.
And now he looks bigger than you.
We're the same height.
Let's get rained on first.
But hang on. I'm talking about the frustration of watching the Yankees their approach. It's not just a one-game thing. People are going to think it's all about just one game. Their approach is maddening because you'll get a game like that. High strikeout, high swing and miss. It might get you 99 wins in the regular season, but what we've learned in the last 5 years, CC, it doesn't get you postseason success because the postseason is a grind. You've got to be able to grind games out.
Yeah, I mean, it's the biggest strikeout differential in Major League Baseball postseason history, Carl. I mean, that's a problem. Mm-hmm. Like, and Carl and I were talking about this earlier in the show. It seems like it's there we go again in terms of the Minute Maid Park being a shop of horrors for the Yankees, because that's always been the problem, right? It's too much swing and miss in this lineup, and they haven't figured out a way to be able to take advantage of the traffic that they do put on the bases. And in those first three innings, Al, they had their opportunities. Like, you heard Justin Verlander talk about it in the postgame. Yep. He said, yeah, I had to take some time to settle in, but once I started making some pitches, I got in the groove, and that's when he had retired 11 straight with 9 strikeouts in the middle of that. So that, to me, was the problem. You had multiple base runners each of the first three innings, and you were only able to scratch across one run, that being the Harrison Bader home run.
Right.
You had an opportunity in the eighth inning after Rizzo hits that solo shot. I mean, you're talking about Donaldson being able to work or walk, Stanton getting a base hit, and then, of course, it finds Matt Carpenter, the guy that hadn't played a lot of baseball in the last 2 months, and what happens? He ends up striking out.
But
that was the opportunity.
Was it Rizzo on third when they had the shift on and the whole left side of the field? And he's like literally
almost at home plate,
parallel with Verlander as he's throwing. He's like, he's 60 feet, 6 inches from home plate, just standing there. And there's nobody covering third. There's nobody on the left side. And I'm thinking to myself, it's like Happy Gilmore. Just tap it in.
That's it.
He can walk home.
I don't understand it, man. That's what drives you crazy as a fan.
You're thinking, it's 1-1 at that. I believe it was 1-1 at that point.
It was.
And I'm watching, and it's just like, okay, they easily get a run here. They're giving you the whole left side of the field. But that's just not how they play, they being the Yankees.
And here's the thing. You can't give away opportunities to steal home field advantage against the Astros, right? And it felt like last night was a winnable game. As weird as that sounds, it felt like it was a winnable game because it didn't get away from you until you had that 2-run shot by Gurriel in the middle inning. So it was a situation, even with all of that, we had chances against Montero in that eighth inning. They didn't come through, and it just felt like at that moment, you knew the outcome of the game, and Presley got the 4-out save.
Must win today, Severino. You own their pitcher. Must win today?
Yeah, I think so.
Especially if they lose this game.
Going up against Framber Valdez, the only left-handed
6.49 ERA against the Yankees or something like that?
He's the only left-handed pitcher that the Astros have on their staff. So your lineup should be able to take advantage of that. Everything that's breaking is coming towards your power bats. You got to take advantage of this. If you don't, then this is probably going to get late early for the Yankees.
Say they survive the Cleveland series.
You're a Mets fan. You don't give a damn.
He's holding up the headline behind your head.
He doesn't care about my pain. He doesn't care about that.
Exactly.
Stop yourself.
Absolutely. Chris Kenny joining us here in the studio.
He's a bad guy. He's a good teammate, but he's a bad guy.
You can be both.
Yeah,
you can,
absolutely.
There's room for both. And he's that guy.
But he is that guy.
This is the guy yesterday giving me this whole, like,
you know what he is, he's that guy that chooses to go with Tabasco sauce over Frank's Red Hot or Texas Pete or Louisiana, which is absolutely ridiculous. He's like the guys that wear black Air Force Ones. You can't trust. If this is your people, let me get a close up on this. If this is your hot sauce of choice, I can't trust you. You won't be invited to the Candy Kickback or the Candy Cookout. You can't come. Those are Jordans, not Air Force Ones.
That was free. That hot sauce is free.
No, I don't care if it's free. It's not good.
Alan knows I'm a Red Hot guy.
You
can't trust a man with Tabasco. I'm a Red Hot guy, but I'm just saying, you guys danced on my grave when the Mets, 115 win team. Okay, well, you just went one series longer than me. Congratulations, you played yourself. You get beat by the same team that always beats you because you don't change up your approach and you think this is feast or famine, and you're always going to have famine. Oregon Trail, destitute.
Famine.
Yeah,
famine.
You know what hurts Allen is that I can't disagree with Bart Scott and what he just said. That's the part that hurts the most. I can't disagree with what he's not wrong.
But what you
could, I love disagreeing with Bart. It's what makes our shows fun. But I can't disagree with him. He's not wrong.
But what makes it more entertaining to me is that the Yankees at least won the division.
That happened.
The hold on.
What's the standard?
Hold on. You gave the standard.
You choked the division away.
You had a 10-game lead.
You choked the division away. You choked it away.
Okay, to the hottest team in baseball. Mm-hmm. It's not that we choked.
Where's that hottest team in baseball right now?
They're at home, too.
Are they watching?
They're watching. They got a head start to where y'all going next. They'll have a seat ready for you.
But think about the NL East. Did anybody have the Phillies on the bingo card to get to the CS?
That's it.
Did anybody have that?
And how about the fact?
I mean, Kyle Schwarber hit one in game one that went to La Jolla.
It's still going.
It's unbelievable, man.
It's still going. But how about they were also up 4-0? Like that game with the, that was a wild game too, because there was a moment there early in that game.
Yeah.
It came to the NLCS where it's 4-0. You're going, the Phillies are going home up 2-0. Like, yeah. It's just, that's something special. Well, all right,
Nola
somebody
looked good early on too.
Somebody that certainly knows a lot about winning.
Sorry,
in October.
We got Big Bernie.
Yeah, CC doesn't.
What's
have
that out of Bernie?
My favorite Yankee. He's my favorite Yankee.
Well, we gotta get you an IFB.
We'll tell him.
You know? Well, like that's he's my favorite Yankee.
All right. We'll tell him.
I don't have an IFB.
Yeah, you can't hear him. And Bernie's waiting for us, so let's get to him. CC, great to see you, brother. Thank you so much.
By the way, I go with
my condolences for the Knicks.
I go with Red Hat.
Hey, we fought.
Yeah. Hey, the Pistons.
How your Lakers doing?
Hey, free Cam Reddish, by the way.
You did. All right. Bernie Williams waiting for us. Let's not make him wait any longer.
We apologize, Bernie.
It is Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott with Bernie Williams, who joins us right now. The Yankees, great 4-time World Series champion as well. Bernie, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. I was laughing. I was being entertained by you guys, man. I was like, keep me waiting more.
You got an NBA guy and two NFL guys talking baseball. There's nothing better than that, right? It's pretty incredible.
Man, that's awesome.
But let's start right there, though, for what we saw yesterday. And it is obviously just a different approach now that we're seeing in the sport, right? And the Yankees had a lot of strikeouts yesterday, and they were out-homered by the Houston Astros. Is it, for you, just a different game and a different approach than what you remember during your days?
Well, I think it's a little bit different. The advent of analytics, have sort of taken these players and given them a different perspective on what really counts as far as numbers. But I'm sure that each and every one of those guys, were trying to do their best to try to win this game. I think, you've got to give credit to Verlander. He pitched, he was Verlander, the one that we all know.
Yep.
And depending on what side of you are, you either hate or love, but he did what he was supposed to do. I think, to me, my approach would have been more in terms of trying to get him to pitch as many pitches as he could to try to get into that bullpen. But at the same time, I know these guys are trying their best and they're trying to do everything that they can to try to disrupt him and do the best that they could to try to win that game. It just didn't happen for them last night.
Have you ever experienced this? Like, a team just has your number.
No, he never had.
And
all they did was win.
how do you get out of your own head? How do you not let yesterday's defeat get in your head and say, here we go again, we just can't beat these guys? Who's got to be the linchpin? Is it Severino coming back? Because at one point he was the ace. Is it him coming in and reminding the Yankees that, hey, we're the Yankees and we're never out of this thing. We have a chance. Because I just feel like at some point you may feel defeated already.
Yeah, that's a really interesting thing that you mentioned, because I think that obviously Severino's performance tonight would make a big statement, in the course of this series. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But, as far as that approach of thinking that a team has our number, every time I thought that a pitcher had my number, the only thing that I could think of is like, okay, so that means that I'm just due to do something good. So you kind of have to take that approach that, the more you feel that The team is not really playing well against a certain team, that you have to turn it around into thinking, well, I think it's just, we're just due to do something great right now. And I think that's probably the best way to approach it. I mean, you cannot approach this as these guys have our, you know, they have our number and that we cannot beat them. I mean, that will be probably the worst thing to do. You have to sort of fool yourself into thinking, oh, that only means that we're due to do something great against these guys. So I think, you know, it might be time to turn the tide right now. So that's the way that I would think about it.
Bernie Williams joining us right now, the Yankee great, the four-time World Series champion. He's also here to help us raise awareness for lung disease, and it's something, tune into Lung Health that you're part of right now. Tell us about that and why it's important to you.
Well, it's really important to me because I'm honoring the memory of my dad. He died from idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis, which is one type of interstitial lung disease. And they're rarely known, you know, about 140,000 people living with interstitial lung disease in the United States. And we are launching this campaign called Tune Into Lung Health, in which we are introducing music and breathing exercises to cope with the symptoms and of anxiety and depression, the burden of dealing with ILDs, which is, you know, the short for interstitial lung diseases. So thank you so much for letting me talk about that.
Yeah, well, how does music, how do you use music? Because I know obviously you are a musician, a Latin Grammy nominee at one point, one of his albums, and I know that's something that's near and dear to your heart as well. So how do you use music to do this?
Music is it's an important resource. I mean, as a music maker, being able to make music, you know, playing guitar in my particular case, has sort of soothed me and sort of take me, my mind, in a different direction, a distraction to deal, you know, from dealing with, you know, with the burden of dealing with a person that is afflicted by a condition like this. My dad was able to utilize music in a therapeutic way, listening to it, you know, soothe him from the anxiety and the depression that he was suffering from dealing with, you know, with the interstitial lung disease. And I think it's really important to have those resources, and you know, really encouraging people to tune in to Lung Health and to go to tuneintolunghealth.com, where they can find more resources and more things that they can learn about, you know, educating themselves about these kinds of diseases.
Yeah, that's great stuff. There's no doubt about it. Bernie Williams joining us right now. Bernie, before we let you go, I know you got to run and do another interview, but something that I saw yesterday in the Arizona Fall League that they're trying out. There's new rules coming to Major League Baseball next season. But this one's interesting, and you as a guy who was known as a hitter, I wonder what you think of this. Automated strike zone, where if you disagree with the pitch, you can call for a review, and it happens automatically on the scoreboard, like in tennis, and you could see whether it was in the strike zone or not. You think that's something that one day should be in Major League Baseball?
Well, I mean, it's just a little bit of a complicated question to answer, because we have lived through playing this game true and true for, you know, more than 100 years a certain way. And, you know, as you can see, you know, some of the umpires that are more hitter-friendly, some of them are pitcher-friendly. You never know what to expect in a certain game. I know it's a very difficult job for the umpires to call balls and strikes and do it in a fraction of a second, which is, you know, I mean, it's not an easy thing to do. I am wondering, you know, how much of a difference would actually get people to specialize in hitting those corners and those unhittable spots where you can pitch, you know, through those things, and having a machine actually determine, you know, whether the ball is a strike or a ball. It'll be interesting to see how that kind of pans out in the minds and hearts of the players playing the game right now. I mean, I would like it, you know, for whatever reason. I mean, as a hitter, I can live with somebody getting it right the first time. You know, you worked on your game so much and so hard to have, you know, ancillary circumstances determine the fate of your bat and your hard work. So I will be a proponent of just getting it right, you know, and whatever that entails, whether it's an umpire or a machine, I don't care who does it, but just get it right.
Yeah, I mean, human element's always been a part of sports, and that is certainly one in baseball. It's always been a part of that sport. Bernie, great talking to you as always. All the best.
Thank you so much, Fred, for having me, and all the best to you guys.
Thank you so much. Again, it's tune in to lunghealth.com. And that is a big part of what Bernie is doing right now to try to bring some awareness and attention to it. And it is something that is near and dear to him because of what his father had to deal with. And Bernie Williams certainly knows about hitting.
Yeah.
And certainly knows about winning. He was a big part of all of that with those Yankees teams.
It was like,
the 90s.
Hey, Bernie, have you ever... You know who you're talking to?
Yeah.
Like,
Bernie, you ever have a team that you didn't think you could beat? No.
Like, yeah, no.
We kind of beat everybody.
I'm living that reality, bro.
Yeah. All right, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's for you to be part of Barton Hunt Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. ESPN Nation, presented by Dr. Pepper. It ain't college football season without the delicious taste of an ice cold Dr. Pepper. It's the one fans deserve. So we'll get your calls rolling, and we also have some football to get to. So more guests in the Honeycomb Hideout. Rob Ninkovich joining us next. Barton Hunt, ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Bart and Han.
The fact that I've worked weekends for the last 23 years, I do deserve one day off.
I don't think you can go get it at the same level Sundays if that's how you're feeling right now. I don't see where this is the same guy mentally.
I didn't play great, you know, and I feel like the stats look a little better than the game.
Aaron Rodgers doesn't have to change the way he plays. He has to change the way he leads.
He knows that the urgency is there for them to get up to speed.
I was really disappointed in his comments talking about how Watson and Dobbs, their rookie receivers, weren't prepared. I put that on him.
It's getting real in the field, Alan.
It is. Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. And you know what, Bart?
Hey.
You know what it's time for?
Ooh.
To the Honeycomb Hideout.
The Honeycomb Hideout. Rob Ninkovich.
I feel like Nico should get his own little section in the Honeycomb Hideout. We should like give him like a little storage drawer or something so he can put some personals and stuff in there. Maybe a stogie or something.
Are we at that point of the relationship? We're going to give him a drawer?
Yeah, it's like, yeah. Like a toothbrush or something like that. Maybe a little lotion, a little spray in case, you know, lactose in there, buying it up or something.
Lactose pill, like just in case I have an issue. But you know, I appreciate the opportunity to have myself a little drawer. So give me a drawer. You know, you get Bart over here, got pictures of him hitting Brady on the backside of the door. It's over here. You got a highlight. Would you steal that from the facility, Bart?
Hey, you see the other thing on the drawer, too, about not bringing drinks inside. If you look at the door on the backside of it, there's another sign in there.
Man.
Yeah, I'm the example. I destroyed the entire like component in here.
Nico, tell me if this shocks you.
Do it.
Bart was talking, and are you Italian?
No, I'm Croatian.
Okay, Bart, you're not Italian, right? But you speak with your hands. So
yeah. He's in a hand talker.
I got Italian in my family, and so that's what the hands come out.
Yeah, you got to talk like this. Hey, yeah,
and
hey.
He had a smoothie on the table, and I'm looking at the smoothie, going, I need to grab this thing because it's going to
hit it.
And he just
smoothie everywhere?
Everywhere.
No, not everywhere. Inside the part with all the components.
Yeah.
Oh,
short and that's circuit.
A smoothie.
Zapped it all out. It's not even like light.
Yeah, you can't wipe that up.
They had to replace it.
Thick.
Destroyed the entire thing, man. It had acai seeds and flax seeds, chia seeds, all stuck in every crevice you could think of.
Yeah, at least it's healthy now.
So, maybe. It was a mess here. Is it a mess in Green Bay after two losses to the New York teams, Ninko?
Yeah.
I mean, what's going on there?
I mean, it seems like a mess. You got Aaron Rodgers looking all discombobulated. You know, last year he had that meme of the chin strap around his nose, mm-hmm. Looking cross-eyed. And he's been hit more this year, I feel like, he was last year. So you look at Green Bay going into the season, everyone was talking about, they have a young receiving core and who's going to step up? Well, now they have a young receiving core, which really there's question marks on who is going to step up that they have to start performing at a high level. You got an offensive line that's getting your quarterback hit. You got a defense that's like Swiss cheese, like a cheese head. Put that cheese head on the defense. So just, people just running through them. So you add all these special teams, block punt for a touchdown, block field goals. Like, you can't win football games like that. So I don't care what quarterback you got. When you play bad in three phases, you lose.
Is it as simple as play better, tighten the bolts down, or do they need to make a move aggressively to bring in somebody midseason? We saw the last previous Super Bowl champions, whether it was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers going out and getting Antonio Brown, bringing Gronkowski in, or if it was last year, the Rams going to get Von Miller, making a trade for Odell Beckham. Should the Green Bay Packers, who traditionally in their nature don't operate that way, go out and give Aaron Rodgers whatever he needs, because this is their best chance to win a championship anytime soon? I have no confidence when Jordan Love comes that the winning is going to continue.
Man, it feels like a little too late for that right now. And you think back to last year, like when the Rams went and they went and got OBJ, or some of these other teams that have a depth, they don't have a depth issue. They have a good depth position. Then they go and get an extra piece to put them over the top. You know, who are they going to go get right now that's available that would come in and be like a game-changing receiver? Like, I don't really think that's possible. I really don't. So, I mean, who's out there that's available?
I mean, I would think DJ Moore, right? They missed out on Robbie Anderson. I thought they could have made a play for Robbie Anderson. You know, Brandon Cook seems to always be available.
But is that guy, are those pieces that other teams are willing to trade away, going to get you into a position of changing the whole outlook of your offense? I really just don't know if that would happen. Like, maybe if they had two pieces, so say you got Cooks and McCaffrey, and then you add that into the backfield and you use him as a slot and you move him around, yeah, and you're creative with him. Because that's the thing too. Like, I feel like if you went and got a piece, you have to be more creative. Like, if I was, yeah, another team and I knew that McCaffrey was available, I would go and get him and use him as a receiver, running back, like a piece that, yeah, you moved around
chess
a lot.
Piece.
A chess piece.
He has an expiring contract at the end of this year, too. You can get out of the deal. You don't have to get stuck with that long-term deal that he has.
Yes. So you go get him and you use him in a Julian Edelman, type role. Slot, running back, reverses, gadget pass, and you make defenses figure it out. Then you have another option there that helps your offense, and it hurts, defenses have to prepare for that, which I don't think the Panthers have used him to his potential. I mean, I know he was hurt, but I still think he's more than just a back at home running back.
They got the Commanders this week, and if they're the Packers, it's almost feeling like that must win situation. Rob Ninkovich joining us right now in the Honeycomb Hideout. It is Barton Hahn. Travis Kelce wants the Chiefs to sign Odell Beckham Jr. Is that a piece that the Chiefs, like, maybe I'll put it this way. Is that the best place for Odell to go if it's not going to be with the Rams?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good place because he would just be a luxury item. He wouldn't be a go-to guy that you'd have to throw the football to right away. So if you're OBJ, you have to look at this thing as a business decision. Where am I going to go get an opportunity to where I could show a little bit of my skill set and then I could help myself after the season and sign a contract somewhere? Because if you're a football team or organization, you're looking at OBJ as a receiver that just tore two ACLs in the same knee. So I'm not paying him anything above league minimum. He's going to have to go sign somewhere for league minimum. And if that's, it's going to be up to him. So if Odell wants to play this year, he'll play this year. If Odell wants to rehab and make sure he's 100%, if I was in his camp, I would say, listen, Odell, you're not even a year out of tearing your ACL. You tore it in February. Let's rehab, make yourself as strong as possible. Then we'll go do we'll have a workout with all the teams and you can run your routes. You can look crispy. You can catch every pass one-handed over your head, whatever you want to do. And maybe that gives you a better shot of making a little bit more money. But at this point right now, you got to tread water cautiously if you're OBJ or if you're a football team. because he's had two ACLs the same knee. If he tears it again, his career's over. Plain and simple.
Yeah.
Yeah, Thomas Davis, only one to ever play after having three ACLs. I don't know if it was on the same knee. But it, so I'm going to ask you this then, right? You heard Travis Kelce. You know, he's not hiding it. Yeah, I think when they went against the Bills, he realized that they didn't have enough, and it was easy for them to be defended, like I said early in the season. But what I'm saying is, if you're Von Miller on the other side, are you saying, hey, my brother, I just won you a Super Bowl ring last year. Do you pay a little bit more if you're Buffalo just to keep him from Kansas City?
I mean, honestly, though, like, I wouldn't be scared of OBJ right now. Like, him coming after. Listen, I've torn my ACL. I've torn it. I know what it feels like to come back from it. You're not 100%. And he's going to be coming off his second one on the same knee. So I'm sure he's going to go through a little struggle here mentally on, can I make the same cuts? Am I still as explosive as I once was? Because in the Super Bowl, he looked great. Then he tore his ACL. Yeah. Like, that's a mind thing that you have to overcome, not a physical thing. But I know the whole process of an ACL tear. I know how long it takes to vascularize and actually create blood flow to the allograft and the ACL graft. Takes 6 months for your body to actually put a blood supply into that graft. So February, March, April, May, June, July, August is kind of like 6 months where you want to be cautious. So from August, September, October, like, he's not close yet. So December.
Yeah, they pushed him back. It was supposed to be early November. Now he's in December.
It's got
to
be December.
Be cleared to play.
Yeah, so he shouldn't play. Okay, so you push yourself back to play in December for just a playoff run, and you risk putting yourself in a position to hurting yourself again. If you hurt yourself again, I'm telling you, there's never been a receiver to tear the same ACL three times and come back and play at a high level.
All right, tell me we have to go, but I've got to ask you, because you are, of course, Pat the Patriot. I need to know, are the Jets for real in your eyes? Can you get yourself to say, you know what, they've got something happening there?
I'm a realist. I live in the real world, man. I know exactly what I see when I watch a football team, and I like the Jets. I think that they have, you know what the Jets have? They have a young swagger about them to where if you're another team, a good team, a playoff team, and you see them, you're going to be a little nervous to play the Jets, because they could knock somebody off. They could knock a team off.
That's all I needed.
You made this all Alan Needless. Yankees got beat. Yeah, they're going to get the brooms out.
Feel better now.
The Knicks lost in overtime.
Feel better now. I'm good.
The talent is there. The talent is there, and they're riding high right now. And sometimes, you know, when you're young and dumb, you just play and you go out there, you fly around, and you make plays. And I feel like they're in that position.
From your lips to God's ears. Rob Ninkovich in the Honeycomb Hideout. Thanks, Nico.
The Brownie Man.
See you guys. Let me back in there. Give me a little drawer. All right.
We got you a drawer.
I'm going to eat.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Your call's next. Barton Hunt, ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Hahn.
It's Bart and Hahn. You know how we do. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Is that what you're doing?
I feel like I need to be. Bing, bing. Got the old Deuce and Quarter. You got it. Well, I don't know why the old school dudes, like back in the day,
they had the knob on the steering wheel, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. You just hold the knob. You just wax on, wax off. 888, say ESPN, 888-729-3776. That little candy segment that we had there was so much fun. We got tons of calls off of the things that were said in it, so let's grab some now. To New Orleans we go and talk to Donnie. What's up, Donnie?
What's going on, fellas? I just can't believe that y'all let Canty disrespect the entire state of Louisiana.
Everybody.
Y'all gonna say Tabasco sauce is nasty, and then Bartholomew backed him up.
No, I didn't even realize it was from Louisiana. But
it's from Avery Island.
So this is the thing about Tabasco.
McElhinney.
If you look at the ingredients, it's very simple.
Red dye.
Cayenne. and it don't have no vinegar and no garlic in it. So it has distilled vinegar, red pepper, and salt. I need some, what do you call that?
I don't know.
I need some garlic.
Why?
I need a little bit more flavor.
It's delicious.
It's supposed to be. No, see, Tabasco's just hot. I need it hot and delicious.
Well, Donnie was taking it.
The Marine Corps loves it.
Okay. Oh, the Marine Corps loves it. And that's what matters.
Because that's the only thing that makes MREs acceptable for human consumption is Tabasco.
that's only a thing that y'all would understand that you have to explain to us about it, right? Like, you need it to make it just edible at that point. Donnie, God bless. Thank you, man, for the call.
Just burn your taste buds.
Just need to open it up. Just soak it. I don't care.
I don't mind my mouth being hot, but I need some flavor too. You know what I mean? I like my hot sauce so hot that my nose start running. Like some hot mustard.
Mike is in Nebraska. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's going on? Yeah, I was actually calling about Canty earlier too. Mine's more of a question though.
Go ahead.
He was making fun of black Air Force Ones, and I've worn them every day of my life since I was in high school. We're talking 16 years.
So that means you're a killer.
I play basketball in them.
See, that means you're a killer.
All black. Now, you're talking about all black. Not the white sole ones. Yeah. All black.
Yeah, all black. Black on black.
Remember a couple of weeks ago, Mike Tomlin bought the entire team of Pittsburgh the black Air Force One because, you know, it says a lot that you wear the black Air Force Ones. You're supposed to be a killer. You're supposed to be about that life.
Very dangerous person. We're back in 10 seconds.
Bart and Han.
Oh, man. It's Bart and Han. Hey, for all the ones who get it done, Grainger's always there to help. Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry. 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, experienced staff, over 250 local branches, Bart. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe. And you know what?
Your people's even safer.
Your people's even safer. Call clickgranger.com or just stop by.
They're there.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We got news from Bart and Han Nation. And we've got Mike in Cincinnati hitting us up on the Dr. Pepper call line. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's up, boys? Thanks for taking my call.
Huge fan
of the show. I've listened to you guys in one way, shape, or form on deployments, on everything. So thank
Love
you
it.
For doing what you guys do.
Thank you.
So my thing is about the computerized strike zone. I think we're at the point where it's a must-have. Like, imagine, like, Bart, you're a basketball guy, or Bart, you're a football guy. Yeah.
Two feet in.
Imagine, like, okay, so Han is the ref today, so we get a couple extra inches in the end zone.
Yep.
Like, that's insane to think about, right? Like, the game should not come down to
human error.
Objectively grading in an objective zone.
It's the only sport, right?
This ASAP.
I mean, they do have, though, analytics on referees that are, they'll let you get away with more. Some, so even in the NBA, some will let you get more physicality, some won't. The NFL's the same way. That does happen, and it is the human element part of it, Mike, but I'm with you, though. See, tennis went to this, the Cyclops. Tennis went to it, and you're not going to always ask, but there's close ones that you're like, let's check that. And it takes like 2 seconds, you know, right away, and we're all good.
So I'll tell you the football equivalent of this.
Thank you, Mike.
Other automatic strike zone would be the field goal. When the field goal goes over the goalpost, they have to see if part of the field goal.
You rarely have that.
It happened last week with the kid from Kansas City.
Yeah.
They said, well, the whole ball has to be on the outer half of it to miss. Yeah. So, like, you need that to kind of be able to tell you because your human eye
can't see goaltending in
that.
The NBA. Goaltending in the NBA. It's a lot of different things that
it's the ball starting to drop.
But, I mean, there's so many things to it. But I just think in this sport, and how many times, by the way,
so
when the batter argues, when then they show you on TV, the umpire's right. Most of the time, the umpire's right.
It is.
It's not like it's going to be a million times going to be wrong, but there are those that we watch and we're just going, man, that's not a strike.
It's about making it better.
And I think it makes the umpire adjust. Yeah. All right, I'm calling them too low. I got to raise my strike zone. Like, whatever it is, it could make the game better. It's Barton Hobby. We want you to think O'Reilly Auto Parts for your car care needs. They're close, convenient, known for guaranteed everyday low prices, excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. A few more calls here before we get to a big day tomorrow, Bart, in the sports world. The first of its kind.
The first?
In this calendar year. Yes, that's coming up in a few, but we got more calls, more news from Bart and Han Nation. We go to Dana in Virginia on the Dr. Pepper call online. What's up, Dana?
Hey, what's up, Bart? What's up, Han?
What's up?
Hey, I'm that last guy, man. I'm glad y'all talk about Green Bay Aaron Rodgers. Man, when we can say that, man, Aaron Rodgers just ain't getting it done, man. We can blame the defense. We can blame the offensive line.
Yeah.
One time they saying he make receivers good. Now they saying he don't have any receivers. I mean, you could take whoever he want there. He can put up a whole lot of numbers during the regular season and then get bumped out in the playoffs. Come
yeah.
on, man.
Yeah, we have to hold him accountable.
It's got to be on Rodgers. See, I'm with you, Dana. I think it's on Rodgers for this reason. And remember what we saw. He had a new receiving core. He had a young receiving core. Did he put in the work in the offseason to get everybody on schedule,
on the
page? No. And he could pretend like that. 7-on-7 doesn't do anything. You got to be in real live action. I call bull on that because I do think there is chemistry.
Tom
there
Brady
is.
Did it.
Just right. Other quarterbacks do it.
So Sam Darnold did it.
Why wouldn't
Patrick Mahomes?
Why
did
wouldn't
it.
You do it at this point of your yeah. career? Yeah, Patrick Mahomes
had
all these guys at his house.
Yeah, that's the best comp. It's
Dana,
that's
a great call by Dana. A great call because we
got the whole
talking about Aaron enough
because you can't complain about the weapons now when you had an opportunity when you knew that DeAndre Hopkins wasn't coming back. They could have made some moves, but you know what they said? Oh, we got Aaron Rodgers. He'll handle it. He'll fix it. So they allowed him to keep who he wanted. He could have went out and got anybody he wanted. They would have traded for him after
yeah.
that. Yeah, Devontae Adams.
Yeah, but that's the part.
That's the arrogance when of him. I can make anybody good.
That's the arrogance is right. And
make
so,
anybody good. Just give it to him.
So now you could blame, we got to get guys in the right pay. Oh, maybe we got to simplify it because they don't get it. Or no, maybe you needed to start studying a lot earlier so they could get at your level. So you could see, I don't think he's getting it yet, so we got to simplify. Why are we doing this in the middle of the season?
Lazard, Cobbs,
yeah,
and Cobbs and Sammy Watkins. Those are veteran receivers. What are we talking about?
Yeah, but he's not talking about them. You know who he's talking about.
Well, where are those guys at?
And then he's talking about personnel. Maybe we don't have the right personnel. I mean, he's shading everybody.
That's a you problem.
And if I'm the front, if I'm Gutekunst, I'm like, where were you in July? Like, we were trying to get this underway. Where were you when we drafted these young guys?
Roscoe Jenkins.
Like, where were you? Sending texts? That's great. Texts ain't enough. We need you to be here.
Bart and Han.